Coming up next on 88.1 FM, a chance to get to know one of your neighbors better on Porch Talk. Like all of our programming, Porch Talk is made possible in part by Watts members, who show their appreciation of community radio by donating to WWER. For more information, go to wwer.org/membership. This week on Porch Talk, we present part two of a conversation with Sandy Scroggs. Sandy is a longtime resident of Colonial Beach and founded the Facebook group Memories of Colonial Beach. Her friend, neighbor, and WWER volunteer Sam Triantos sat down with Sandy to hear some of her memories of Colonial Beach. Last week, we heard Sandy mention some of the celebrities who came through Colonial Beach back in the day. This week, she continues with more stories, including her encounter with Patsy Cline.
We were talking about the famous people that used to be there.
Yeah.
Did I mention Patsy Cline?
You did, yeah. Did she perform here or she just visited?
No, she performed there. Jimmy Dean performed there and Roy Clark. But I babysat for Patsy Cline. I was only 8 years old, and I know.
Exciting.
I know. I didn't know who she was at the time.
Okay, but people here knew who she was
and
knew all these people were.
I don't know. I was 8 years old in 1958. No, 57. Mm-hmm. So how popular was she then? I don't know, but my uncle had what they called the penthouse up on top of Reno, which was a little apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her baby. I think it was a girl, but I'm not real positive, but it was sleeping. So my job was to sit there with the baby.
with Patsy Cline's baby?
Yes.
Wow.
She was performing downstairs. And if it was woke up, I was to run downstairs and get her. So that was my babysitting.
Wow, Sandy. Have you ever thought of trying to find her and say, did you? You know,
well, I don't think she remembered me.
Probably not. Probably not.
Yeah, but that was you know, I had a lot of friends in the summertime because my uncle, you know, he had the Colonial Beach Hotel, and my sister and I kept getting sick in the summertime from swimming in the Potomac. You know, it was pretty polluted back then. I mean, it's a lot nicer now than it was then. And so he always told us that he built the pool at Colonial Beach for his nieces and nephews so they wouldn't get sick anymore.
Where was the pool?
It was over there where the pool is. You don't know where the pool
is? At the Riverview? No, I'm sorry, the restaurant, the River's Edge.
Right.
Okay, it was that one. Oh, okay.
Kind of in there, only I think it was a lot bigger.
Okay.
And I remember they had a kiddie pool, mm-hmm. and then they had an adult pool. And the kiddie pool, he told my sister that that was her pool.
Okay.
And it had a fence around it, an anchor fence. And she loved to wear those little plastic high heel shoes. And she wore a little bikini over there. And she would stand with her high heel shoes and bikini at the gate. And, you know, you had to get permission from her before you could swim in her pool.
So what did you wear? Did you have your own little plastic high heel
shoes?
No,
I didn't wear that plastic high heels. I know Uncle Delbert and Uncle Denny used to hire guys from the West Virginia University, mm-hmm. University of West uh-huh. Virginia. In the summertime, they would come down and work for him.
Lifeguard?
All kinds of. They'd run the rides. Right. Oh, right. The rides belonged right. to my uncles also. So, you know what? I could get on the rides for free.
Where were the rides?
You need to join our Memories of Colonial Beach group.
You know how I am about Facebook.
The rides were there. You know where Town Hill is?
Yes.
And you go over the hill to mm-hmm. the beach. They yeah. were all down in there.
Oh, okay. Kind of like where they put the carnivals when we have
yes.
carnivals here. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. There was a whip. There was a merry-go-round, and it had a beautiful old organ that played for the merry-go-round. It was mm-hmm. it was just like you.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't recorded. It was an
no.
actual organ.
No. Well, it was some kind of contraption. It was. It's like a music box is what I think it was. Oh, okay. But that's just me guessing. I got a picture of it on the group, on the memories.
Oh, all right.
And then there was a, what they called the whip. Mm-hmm. Then there was a little roller coaster called the Little Dipper. And then there was this terrible ride called the Bullet. Oh, my God. It would make... I couldn't go on that. It would make me sick every time. But a lot of people...
What did it do?
It was two, like, bullet-shaped uh-huh. things. Uh-huh. And not only did it go around like a Ferris wheel, uh-huh. but each capsule, when you pulled down back the ring inside, it would turn upside down.
Oh, my God. It's giving me vertigo yeah. just thinking about it.
Oh, it was awful. I never rode that very much. And then there was a little train. And pictures of all of... Sam, I'm going to have to get you on the Memories of Colonial Beach group just to see these pictures. You're missing all half right. of
I know I
what
know.
It was all about.
I know. I live through your memories.
Yeah. Well, then right next to the rides was a place called the Black Cat, which a lot of people, especially my age and younger, went there to dance, and they had bands. There are a lot of bands.
Oh, that yeah. sounds like fun.
Yeah, and it was a what do you call those lights that are blue and turn everything?
Blue light?
Yeah, they had that. And when you went in there, you know, if you had anything yeah. white on, you
right.
glowed.
A blue. I think they're called blue light. I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, they had that, so everybody had a good time. But I hardly ever went in there because I was working the mm-hmm. my pizza place uh-huh. over in the Reno. So my dad, when they rebuilt the Reno, they put a section on the food counter for me to have my pizza place. And when I had the pizza place...
So how did you get that? Is that because you had family there? Or would,
oh, yeah.
Or what did they offer it as a concession
No, stand? It was my uncle's business, okay. my dad. Yeah, so... they set me up in business for me to work my way through college.
Well, that is great.
So, but instead of giving me money to go to yeah. college, I had to earn it.
Yeah, terrible, isn't it?
I know, darn it.
I hate it when they do that to you.
So I made enough to pay my way through college and buy clothes, which was my favorite part.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
I
yeah.
wait till the end of the summer and then the end of the winter and buy. I had a nice wardrobe then.
So, were there places here where you could buy clothes?
Well, yes, Cooper's. When I was small, I'll never forget this. When I was small, that was the only place in town you could buy pretty much anything. And their motto was, "We sell everything," which they probably did, because anything you wanted, you went in there and they had it. I mean, I don't remember me or my family ever going in there and with groceries. They didn't have groceries, yeah. but they had appliances. They had hardware. They had, plus there was another hardware store in town, too. So this was like in competition. And the clothes, they had beautiful clothes for the time. And shoes. They had shoes, stockings.
They were there where you could buy them or you had to
no,
order them?
No, they were right there.
Wow.
And you tried them on. And I'll never forget this. Mrs. Cooper, the Bill Cooper's mother, uh-huh. She was quite the sales lady. And when she... So I went in there one time about to buy something. I don't know. It was probably a dress or something. It was a dress. And it was way, way too big on me, I thought. And she goes, "Oh, no, honey." And she grabs the small on my back and bunches all the clothes up and pulls it real tight. She said, "It just fits you.
It fits you great."
But they were wonderful people. I can't say enough about them. They were very generous to Colonial Beach and very caring to all of us kids in school. I know they were very supportive of our sports teams, mm-hmm. which everybody in town was supportive of the sports teams. Coach Swope can attest to that because he's younger than me. So I remember one time when I lived in California after I got married, I got a telephone call. It was Bobby Cooper. And she had brought a group of kids out for some big game that they were having in LA. And she just wanted to say hi. And that meant so much to me for her to do that. So We were just like one big family here in Colonial Beach then. Everybody was your mom and dad. If you got in trouble at one end of the Colonial Beach, your parents heard about it before you got home.
I thought you said you couldn't get into trouble in Colonial Beach.
Yeah, I did say that the first time.
You did say that.
Well, that's why you couldn't. Because you knew everybody would tell them.
Right.
And it was like when I went to school. So my daughter's a teacher now, and we have this discussion quite a bit. But when the last thing my parents would say to my teacher was, if she needs to be whipped, a whipping, give it to her.
Oh, my goodness. Did you ever get it?
No.
Oh.
If I ever got...
I'm so glad to hear that.
If I ever got one at school, I'd get another one when I got home. It's not like today.
That's great motivation.
Yeah.
But... ouch, that hurts to think about it. I'm glad that you said you didn't get one, that you were a good girl.
I was probably more chicken than good, but that's okay.
It's okay. It doesn't matter, whatever motivates you. But you did tell me a story that I think is really funny about getting into trouble somewhere else. So tell the story about you trying to get married.
Oh, yeah.
I love that story.
Do you really?
Yes.
So, my dad's sister lived in Hampton, Virginia. I'll start the story with that.
Okay.
And she was always real supportive of me. And so, I had dated my ex-husband for 5 years before we got married. And he worked for my...
He wasn't your ex-husband at the time.
No. When I first met Jimmy, he was at the Colonial Beach swimming pool. And his sister and I were good friends, Jeanette Dickens. She married Ray Dickens. But anyway, the next year, I worked at Aqualand over under the Potomac River Bridge in the change booth. And in a change booth back then, I don't know how they are now because I've never really been in. You have a card when you gamble now, don't you? It's not really money.
I don't know.
Charge card or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, at that time... it was money, and you had buckets of silver dollars, a bucket of silver dollars, a bucket of quarters, several buckets of nickels, and people would come up and, $2 worth of nickels. I'd have that already measured out into cups, that sort of thing. Well, because it was all open, it was just like a bar around this horseshoe type thing. The gentlemen who were the slot machines mechanics sat next to me, or whoever was working on a change booth, so nobody would reach their hands and take the money. Mm-hmm. So the next summer after the pool, my ex-husband, Jim, was a slot machine mechanic. So that's how we fell in love. So anyway, we went. My parents didn't want me to get married because they wanted me to go to college, which I certainly understand. And so we decided to run away. And so we go. He picks me up in college, and we drive south to North Carolina because you can get married there at 18. So I even made him stop at the state line for me to walk over the state line because I didn't want my mother to get him for transporting minors. Because my mother...
How old were you?
I was...
Were you a minor?
19.
Okay, well, that's not a minor, is it?
Well, at that time, I don't know.
Maybe.
It was pretty young. But anyway, so I walked over the state line, and then we went to the nearest town, and we were getting... we had to have a blood test, so we would... to the doctor in town. And so I was in the office talking to the doctor, and he asked me my name, and I said, Sandra Connor. And he says, Connor, where have I heard that name before? And then he goes, and he says, and your address. So I give him my address at Colonial Beach, Virginia. And he goes, oh, that's where I've heard that name. they have gambling in that town, don't they? Aren't the Connor brothers connected to the... And I thought, oh my gosh, come all the way to North Carolina to get married and I'm caught.
So, yeah, so much for me being a good girl.
Yeah. So we went back in the car. I told Jimmy, you know, can't do it. You know, it's too much of a coincidence. But it doesn't stop there because I was so nervous from all that happening. We stopped by my aunt's in Hampton to talk to her about it. And whose car did I see in front of her house but my mother and dad's?
Oh, my goodness.
They had never been to her house
well,
before.
Well, now I know what you mean by you couldn't even get into trouble.
I know.
And
it was, you know, I had to poke in my arm with the Band-Aid from getting the blood test. It was quite nerve-wracking. But anyway, we didn't get married then.
You ended up getting married later.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
He was a Marine, and so we moved all over. We lived in Hawaii and California. Mm-hmm. And later Kuwait, and
then you came back here,
and then we moved to King George. And so after our divorce, I moved back to Colonial Beach. My mother was still living then, so it was nice being with her as an adult.
I heard a lot of good stories about your mom.
Oh my.
From a lot of people. And
you have.
I have. And
did you hear the one about her giving Christmas and July parties?
No, but I did hear about the one with Pee-wee, and you could tell that story.
Oh yeah, those are two good stories. Okay, so I'll tell you the one about the Christmas in July. Okay. I was never at one of those parties. I was always gone. So this was my mother's version. So she said she would have, you know, Christmas, she decorated Christmas trees and everything out in the front yard, and she lived right on Washington Avenue. Well, my mother was very much the party lady, so there was a lot of drinking and dancing and everything going on.
Well, good for her.
In her front yard.
Yeah.
So anyway, her best friend came down a week or two later on the weekends, and she was telling my mother, she worked in Washington, D.C., and she was at this place for lunch. And she said these people sat behind her, and she heard them say Colonial Beach. And so it perked her ears up.
Uh-huh.
And she said the person was saying they had gone to this little town called Colonial Beach, and they were riding down the main street, which was Washington Avenue. And this drunk Santa Claus came out between the cars and stopped the car and asked her kids what they wanted for Christmas.
I haven't heard this story.
No, that was a story I saved for you.
Oh, thank you. I had not heard that story.
So, anyway... They were very surprised.
Who was the drunk Santa Claus?
I don't know. Could have been anybody. I don't know. He was dressed up as Santa. And, you know, a lot of people here in town went to those parties, so maybe somebody remembers them. But the other story that you're talking about with
Pee-wee. Well, wait a minute. Before you leave that one, what about the story about your mom and the people who would come to her hair salon?
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Well, I was still home then, so I was before I went to college. We had the front of our house. My mother turned into a, first of all, she went to beauty school in Fredericksburg. And before she graduated from beauty school, it came up for sale. So my mother bought it. So she had to hire somebody to teach there while she was still going to school. So after she graduated and she ran the beauty school, she opened a beauty parlor in the front of our house. Plus she had another beauty shop in Fredericksburg. My family liked to cook. They loved to make vegetable soup. They loved to make spaghetti. They were big into food.
And you do too. You like to cook too.
I like to do it. Yeah. I was hoping to do more of it when I retired, but with COVID and everything, it's not been...
Well, now you can get a chance to do it.
Yeah. So anyway, they'd always have something on the stove for food. And they, whoever was in the beauty shop, of course, was invited to partake, because you always have food for one more.
That's for the customers. You're talking about the customers. Yeah,
because everybody was friends. And so I guess they shared other things, too, because I heard this story once I got back from in town after moving away, that this was the only beauty shop in town that his wife would go to and come home drunk. So they had a good time. And they got their hair done.
I know. And no complaints.
No, I don't think so.
Because their vision was so fuzzy. Yeah,
well, you didn't have to be that good of a beautician. We used to tease my mother that she had to buy the place to graduate. But anyway.
So okay, so the other story about your mom.
The Pee-wee story. She lived in Washington, on Washington Avenue. She lived there on weekends, and during the week she lived at Rosecroft Raceway up in Clinton, Maryland, mm-hmm. I think it is. Anyway, my stepfather raced horses up there. He was he had seven of them at Sulky Racing. And so on weekends, she would come home, and she worked behind the $2 window, which I always thought was kind of fun when I worked in D.C. to say, yeah, I got to call mom at the racetrack. And they would always,
Who else could say that? No one else could say that.
It just happened that way. So she was here working in her house, and she fell down the front steps facing Washington Avenue. So she said she wasn't really worried that much because, it was well-traveled and somebody would see her there. And here comes Pee-wee. I don't know if most people on the radio station know who Pee-wee Atwell was, but he was a wonderful person. He would go around Colonial Beach on his bicycle, and he would help everybody.
His name was Lawrence. I think that's what Ellie told me. Ellie Carruthers
told me his name. I don't really know what we always called him Pee-wee.
Yeah, she said because I called him Pee-wee one time, and she said, his name is Lawrence, but no one calls him that.
That sounds like Ellie. Yeah. Anyway, he rides up on his bicycle because he helped Mom all the time. He helped mow people's grass. He helped the antique store next to Mom's house with moving furniture and everything. He just was... He was a lovely person, and nobody paid him money after a while because the kids in town would take advantage of him, and he'd end up not having any money anymore. So you would give him like maybe clothes or something like that. So he got a lot of new bicycles because he lost his bicycle a lot. Right. But anyway, he comes riding up on his bicycle. And Mom goes, Pee-wee, help me up.
No, she's lying on the ground.
She's lying on the ground, on the sidewalk.
Right.
And he says, wait a minute, Retta, wait a minute. So he goes into his bag on the back of his bicycle, and he pulls out these two flares and lights them up. And she goes, what are you doing? She said she was laughing so hard she couldn't hardly talk. And he says, these are for an emergency. You're an emergency. So he puts them down and helps my mother up. But that was funny. So
I am very, that's one of the things that I'm really sorry about, that I moved here too late, that I didn't get a chance to meet your mom.
Yeah, I'm sorry you didn't get to meet her too. She was a character.
Yep, so are you.
Oh, I am.
So this is the last question, last thing we'll talk about, and then I'll let you off the hook. What word describes Colonial Beach for you? One word.
Oh, I don't know if this is going to surprise you or not, but I've really thought a long time for this. Olas.
Oh, wow.
Olas. I would drive all the way from Falls Church down to Colonial Beach just to sit in Olas all day, because that's a place where everybody knew your name, and yet they always welcomed you like you were a long-lost relative, and if you sit there long enough, you'll meet everybody in town. It's a place, now that I live here, and I live by myself, I can go up there and always know there'll be somebody there that I can eat dinner with or lunch or whatever, and, you know, have company. So Ola's means a lot to me. You can see a picture up there of Ola's on my wall. My granddaughter, the first place she wants to go when she comes into town is Ola's. They made over her so much when she was young that she thinks they're her family. So,
wow, that's very sweet.
So did that surprise you?
It does not surprise me because I know what it means to you to go there. And I think we would all be very lucky in our lives if we find a place like that that means that much to us.
Well, see, Ola, who started Ola's, her daughter Virginia runs it now, she was like a second mother to me. Her and Alberta Parkinson in my childhood were very important to me. Ola worked at the diner, which is now Hunan's, as a waitress, and later she started her own business at the diner in the brick part. And she would wait on me my parents, they'd be gone and they would leave a dollar for me and a dollar for my sister, and they'd tell us to go to the diner for dinner. And that was how much a special cost then, was a dollar. And so what did I order was a lettuce and onion sandwich.
And yum!
She never forgot it. And when I moved back here after we retired from the Marine Corps, we walked into Ola's, which is where it is now. She was still there. And she says, "Sandy, we don't serve lettuce and onion sandwiches here." So she remembered. And I mean, it's just like going home. It's just like going home for Thanksgiving or something.
I know. That is wonderful. Well, that's how I feel about coming to Kelowna Beach.
Do you?
I do. Absolutely.
I'm so glad you're my neighbor. You've made it wonderful.
Yeah, I consider myself very fortunate to be your friend.
Well, I consider myself fortunate to have you for one, too. And I'm very happy that this radio station is here in Colonial Beach. I actually bragged on it the other day on Memories of Colonial Beach.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I didn't tell them out you were interviewing me, but Bobby Duke, my girlfriend's son, was interviewed, so I was looking forward to listening to his interview. And I even spent all night after you asked me to if I could be interviewed, listening to all the interviews that were on there. So I was quite impressed.
I am too. I'm impressed that we have something like this too. And I think it's something that I look forward to listening to, all those interviews that Ted has put on the archive. But anyway, Sandy, thank you very much for doing this, because I've taken up about an hour of your life and you walking down memory lane. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I hope everything I said was okay.
I don't think you said anything that Ted has to bleep out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this special two-part Porch Talk. If you missed part one or want to hear this part again, it'll be on our archive page very soon. Visit our webpage to find out when it is available, wwer.org. Thanks for joining us. The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.